Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Cinephile, coming to you pre-recorded from the Venice Film Festival. It's the Big Fred Venice. With me, Matt Micucci.
I am Nicolo Comotti from the past.
From the past, yes.
From the future. From the past.
The future past.
Future past tense.
Days of Future Past.
I should have done that.
Great album by the Moody Blues, Days of Future Past.
Yeah, take that.
Folks, it's been a great day. It's the second day of the festival. It's really the first day of the festival, right? Because yesterday, let's face it, we didn't have much to talk about.
So true. We were cuffed.
Yeah.
They put some... first of all, poor Sturm is... Sorry, I can't speak for today.
First of all, the what? The porn stars.
I wanted to say put some respects on our name, but actually we have some respect, so it's fine. Thank you for respecting us.
Respect.
Secondly, we were blindfolded.
Yeah.
We were ontologically handcuffed.
Ooh, ontologically.
We were chained to the gods of bureaucracy. But now we can talk about films,
I know
you want it.
I don't know what you just said. But listen, Nicolò, it's been an exciting day. You watched a lot of films. Some of them we can't talk about because they're still on embargo. But there's stuff that we need to catch up on from yesterday.
That's very true.
Why don't we just get to it? Let's just get to it. All right, so let's begin, first of all, with a film, with the opening film of the Venice Film Festival, which is Parallel Mothers. Parallel Mothers is by Pedro Almodovar. You have seen the film, but just for the folks at home, let me just read out the synopsis from that I copied and pasted from IMDb.
Nice. Do it.
This is the story of two mothers who give birth on the same day. One is middle-aged and happy. The other one is an adolescent, scared. Together they form a bond as the big date approaches and they find themselves confronting motherhood. I love the background music. We need to get one of those little crappy keyboards and just press the buttons every time something
Yeah, where's
like that
your
happens.
Ukulele?
Oh, crap. Well, it's
good.
The other
Keep
studio.
It there.
Oh.
Away from us. Nah, but I like
on.
The keyboard idea. Yeah. Anyway, that was actually a very good synopsis.
You've
I think
it.
Straight to the point. Yes, I liked it. How about that? I liked that film.
What did you like about it?
Actually, the acting is really phenomenal.
Acting, just Penelope amazing. Cruz.
Exactly.
And we don't know the name.
It's just like the relationship within the actors and the actual roles. Almodovar is just a master, like intertwining every single... every character has got some sort of personification or some feelings or maybe worries, life issues, whatever you name it. But still, he always so good at just making it real. It's real, and I know that real is a very, very inflation word.
In the Andrea Bazin is hearing us right now from the beyond.
Yeah, but
the
like,
great
yeah,
beyond.
Very different stuff, still.
What I've got two questions for you about this film. I haven't seen it, but...
That's not a question.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen it. But I need to ask because, first of all, Almodovar is great. We all love him, especially his earlier stuff, let's face it. From reading the synopsis, it kind of sounded like Hable con ella.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, like, it definitely has, you know, it's part of his milieu. Let's face it. You know, he's still talking about, like, a relationship specifically with women, the psyche between it. But it just does it so masterfully, so why stop him, you know?
Exactly.
There's a big need, I think, in cinema for it. Luckily, especially the latest years, we have more voices, more feminine voices, but at the same time, Almodovar has got his own voice that has been crafting for so many years and just keep going.
Going to be my second question, actually. I know we're two lads, but, you know, we want equality in movies.
Yes, of course. I'm very in touch with my feminine side. I don't know about
now,
you.
Now, what does that mean?
Oh, my God. We don't have enough time.
Oh, come on. We do have enough time. This isn't live.
I like...
We can cut this out if it's not good.
I think it's very important for men to be in very literate about their emotions, being very articulate about their emotions, not shying away, and not letting... The only emotion that, if you think about it, actually, bell hooks used to talk about this, the only emotion allowed for men is anger.
Yeah.
To be, you know, displayed. And I think it's time for men to be comfortable with crying, with feeling loving, with...
I cry all the time.
That's good. That's very good.
I'm on the verge of tears right now.
That doesn't mean necessarily, actually, this is feminine, but we're talking about emotions.
We're talking about it in psychoanalytical terms.
Femininity is actually like a never-flowing, ever-changing terminology, but you can still probably give some sort of tropes about it. I just think that I'm not, you know, I love hugging my male friends. I don't have any of this sort of, like, you know, machistic part.
I do. I like that.
This is just a very silly example. We can go on forever. Anyway, Almodovar is very good.
I liked it.
A lot of people were actually saying, let's put it out there, like there was a lot of, you know, there's always grumpy critics out here, of course.
Oh, my goodness.
That's literally their job. They get
paid. Is there any other kind of critic?
You're right.
There is. There's the critics that obsess over Z movies, and they're very popular on YouTube, and they get way more views than we do.
Yeah. Does it mean that we need to do some Z movie?
Probably, yeah. Reviews? We should look into that. But for now, we've got lots more movies
lots
are coming up. Pray now. Okay, so the next film is from the opening film of the Orizzonti section, which again, Nicolò, I believe you watched. Have you? Okay, The Promises. Have you watched it?
I did.
Okay.
Cool. I mean, yes, I did.
Wait,
I had to run outside the screen.
You saw some of it.
I saw actually more than half, and it was great.
The film is by Tomasz Krutoff. I believe I'm saying the name right. If I'm not,
is Krutoff.
Okay.
Tomasz.
And it stars Isabelle Huppert and Reda Khatib, whom I know.
Huppert?
No, I don't think so. Whom I know, Reda Khatib, or Khatib, as some people call him. I'm serious, I've heard. Anyways, he played Django Reinhardt in a film that was very bad, but he was good in it.
Oh, wow.
And I believe he learned to play the guitar like Django Reinhardt that film. Not like Django Reinhardt, but just to kind of, you know, be able to hold a guitar and not seem completely out of place.
Like some really, really good air guitar.
Yeah. I don't know why we're talking about that film, because it's called Django, by the way. Let's get back to The Promises. It's a story that revolves around Clémence, who's in the final stages of a political career as the mayor of a Parisian suburb, and whose political integrity is threatened when the opportunity arises for her to become a minister. Now, what did you think of the parts that you watched?
It was great to actually, I think, as an analysis and modern day analysis on the very different hierarchical studies of power. Okay. So you have like from, you know, you gain power from the people, a mayor.
Yeah.
And automatically you have some sort of mandates. But then you go up, and there's a sort of intersection between the bottom side of power to the very echelon of power through, you know, the ministry and, of course, the prime minister. And then everything changes. The vector is not anymore from the bottom up, but it's actually from up and down, because the prime minister will always be the one that you need to rely on, and you depend on your power from that power. And when you merge this thing, plus of course the capitalistic constant drive of making money out of the seemingly socialist sides of society, then everything becomes a big mess. I used a lot of big words.
I
don't know what I'm saying.
I've never heard anyone hate a movie so much. Why do you hate this movie so much?
I didn't hate it.
Oh, maybe I didn't hear you right. I'm sorry.
I liked it.
You liked it? Okay.
Okay, no, I actually liked it.
I'm going to talk about the next film.
A lot of people were saying that it was too classic, but I liked it.
Yeah. What does that even mean?
Anyways, I don't know.
I'm going to talk about the next film. It's the top of that page. You need to read out the synopsis, though.
The top of that Hallelujah. So, Hallelujah, Leonard Cohen, A Journey, A Song. Director, Daniel Geller and Dana Goldfein.
Yeah.
And the synopsis is not there.
It is there.
Oh, yes, it is. Oh, it's a very short synopsis, yeah.
Very short. What else can you...
This feature-length documentary explores the life of singer-songwriter Leonard Cohen as is seen through the prism of his internationally renowned hymn, Hallelujah.
And now, for the folks at home, would you be able to sing maybe a few seconds of Hallelujah?
The goals, the fifth, the sixth, the minor, fourth, major, seventh.
Wow, the more complicated part.
Where there was a secret chord that David played, that pleased the Lord.
But you don't care. That's the high-pitched microphone. Listen, folks, Leonard Cohen is great. Leonard Cohen is fantastic. Get into his discography. He started singer-songwriting seriously at the age of 32, which is unbelievable. And
your age, right?
Your age.
No, I'm older, actually.
I'm not yet 32, but I will be soon, very soon.
It's getting you.
Yeah, man. It's almost pension time for me.
I wish.
Yeah. Minimum pension.
What is pension?
Let's not talk about that, guys. Yes. Anyway, so, it's good. If you like Leonard Cohen, watch it. Anyways,
these reviews are extremely on point. It's good. Yeah, keep going.
The opposite of you.
Not bad.
Just ask me, what did you think of Hallelujah?
What did you think about the film?
Good. Moving on. The Power of the Dog, which you have seen.
I have. Can I speak bad of films? Or I have to actually Okay.
You can say whatever you want. This is not live. This might not even go anywhere.
Yes, Power of the Dog by Jane Campion, probably one of my most anticipated films here. I am baffled.
Okay.
Baffled.
Okay, before we get into that, is there a dog in the movie?
No, but it's a line. It's a line from some book.
Books.
Maybe the Bible.
Who?
I'm not sure. I was a bit bored then, so I didn't really pay much attention.
You were bored. Wow.
A bit, yes.
Jane Campion film.
I know,
folks.
But like, there's something weird going on. I don't know. We can probably talk about like maybe the production that is slightly different than the usual. Or I'm not gonna name any names.
I'm gonna time you now. I'm gonna say the synopsis, and then I'm gonna time your opinion on the film. Because that could be a fun challenge for everybody.
Okay.
So the synopsis is, a charismatic rancher inspires fear in awe in those around him. When his brother brings home a new wife and her son, Phil torments them until he finds himself exposed to the possibility of love. We should say also, it's a Netflix production. Now, folks, have you got a timer? Okay, so without saying... So let's go for 1 minute... And
oh,
in 1 minute,
Lord,
Giacomo, you get yourself a mic, and when we get to 1 minute, you just got to wrap it up.
I can do it.
Okay, so let's do 30 seconds. 1 minute is crazy.
1 minute is long, man.
Yeah, it's long. 30 seconds. 1 minute.
Okay, we're good. So, Jane Campion's...
Time out.
Power of the Dog. Really?
No.
Okay. God, this is pressure. I don't know what happened. It was like, it's a film that it actually is not going anywhere. It's starting like a few, as you read from your synopsis. It's hinting at a few directions, but nothing is really exemplified. The acting is actually subpar. You don't really, you know.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
I think I've heard a lot of people that loved it were actually all American. So maybe as us Europeans, we are missing some sort of all-American link, and therefore I'm kind of like I'm left as if something is like still unexpressed, but maybe that unexpressiveness is what makes America proud of themselves.
Yeah. It's set in America? Right, okay. So, because Jane Campion is not American.
I know, it's also shot in New Zealand, but apparently it's in Montana.
Yeah, it's shot in a bunch of places.
But it should be Montana, yeah.
That's enough. All right, so... Time's up. We're just going to mention the next few films. One of them is 107 Mutters from the Orizonte sections, because we haven't seen that one. It's by Peter Kerekes, and it's the real-life stories of 107 Mutters in the Odessa prison in Ukraine. I actually want to see this one. Want to see this one. Probably not at this festival, but it really got to me. I don't know what it is about this short synopsis, but I want to see that. And then we've got Atlantide, which maybe we will reserve 15 seconds for. Okay. It's by Yuri Ankarani, and it's a young man from Sant'Erasmo, an island on the edges of Venice Lagoon, lives on his wits. That doesn't mean anything, but I guess they just tried to translate and failed on IMDb. Isolated even from his peer group, who are busy exploring an existence of pleasure-seeking, expressed in the cult of the barquino, which is a motorboat. This absolutely means nothing to nobody who doesn't know what the barquino subculture is.
It's a song to "This Means Nothing to Me."
Oh, oh Vienna.
Anyway, like they're talking about like the lagoon and the province. Great. First of all, it's a good film. Believe you me, it's a very good film.
Orizonte section.
One man band show, really, because like Ankarani does everything: camera, editing, and also he got like a massive super group of musicians for the original soundtrack. We're talking about Sikluk. Then Lorenzo Senni and Francesco Fantini, big dogs of electronic and hip hop in Italy at least, but also like internationally. So Lorenzo Senni is actually a household name for a lot of techno heads.
It's got to be more than 15 seconds.
It doesn't matter because it's still interesting.
Thumbs up. We've got a clip.
It's the boat.
Okay, that was the clip, and we hope you enjoyed the clip. So, next, we've got a clip from the next film, Karmalink. But we can't show it because it's too
abstract.
Rated R. It's a Buddhist sci-fi, and that's pretty much all I want to tell you about the film. It's a great film, the opening film of the Critics Week. If you like dystopian Buddhism,
I have no idea what that is. But
I don't know what that is either.
I mean, like,
but
it
is—it's kind of like a really cool, kind of stylistically intense sci-fi. It's definitely a sci-fi. Shot in Cambodia and definitely inspired as much by the Buddhist stuff as it is inspired by the neuroscientific stuff, which is great. We actually have a really interesting interview with the filmmaker, with the director Jake Wachtel, who is not from Cambodia but can speak Cambodian quite well. And he also sings in Cambodian and he plays the ukulele. And if you want to check out that interview, it's awesome. He actually did play for us during that interview, so it's a little bit different from the usual podcast interview format.
Nice little advert for your own little podcast, huh, Matt? Are you self-advertising yourself now?
Yes,
huh? Definitely. Why don't you promote my own good interviews?
Well, now, you have a really funny story about Paolo Sorrentino. Go tell the folk.
I think we're just being shut down. We've been shut down? Yes. So maybe tomorrow.
Spezza.
I think the producer is taking over, so we actually cannot speak anymore. We have an evil presence called Jack Presabene.
Jack Presabene, would you
Mr. Presabene.
He's actually speaking. Yeah, this is going to be on the video, on the pre-recorded video.
Tell us what you think about your experience, Jack.
So we're now going to reenact you're going to tell us your story about Paolo Sorrentino. We're going to reenact it.
I think it's great if Jack tells his version of the story because he's an amazing Sorrentino connoisseur and he had a moment to actually meet him face to face.
I can't speak English. Sorry about that.
Okay. Well, I can testify that Jack was really happy. Ecstatic.
Yeah.
Excited?
I was.
Maybe he's in touch with his feminine side too, huh? Anyway, moving on. Well, that's it.
Well,
we're facing the wall.
Paolo Sorrentino will be buying one of these rocking chairs. It's not swinging chairs.
But I think, we can leave it for tomorrow. I feel like that tomorrow is a more
Sorrentino.
We can't
talk about the Paolo Sorrentino film. But that's pretty much it, folks. Take it or leave it. It's been a show for the ages.
This is the best you can get. I mean,
this is the best you're going to get
else.
For what?
Only this.
It's enough.
Hate it or love it. The underdog's on top.
If you want, check out all of our content from the Venice Film Festival. We've got podcasts, we've got videos, we've got music, we've got soul.
That's the good thing about podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, you can do whatever you want.
Exactly.
You know? At the end of the day, we're not all free.
We're trying to.
Yeah, we should have.
Cheers to that.
So this has been the pre-recorded episode of the Big Fred Venice. Obviously, we didn't put much into it because
we'll see you in the future.
Let's end it this way. Do you think this show was worse than yesterday's show?
No, I mean, we talked a bit more, and also I like the fact that Jack is alive and well.
Yeah,
I was worried about him. He was just running around headlessly in the laguna waiting for Paolo Sorrentino, and finally he had the moment to see his Prince Charming of cinema.
All right.
And I'm happy for that. We're all happy, right?
Happy for that. Now, let's end it with a joke.
No
joke. Okay, fine. All right, so it's been the worst episode of the show.
Got it.
Yeah.
It's the first one in theory.
Yeah, kind of, but
right. Second first one.
We gotta look into the camera and say thank you for joining us on this episode of the Big Fred Venice, coming to you pre-recorded from the Venice Film Festival. Thank you very much, and join us again tomorrow, same time. No, probably not same time, but again, peace.
Goodbye.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.